You know, in my prayer tonight, I thank God for doing exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. And I had that kind of a day yesterday. Monday, I had a CAT scan on my spine again. Yesterday, I had my appointment with the spine and brain guy. I think you should do more work on my brain. it went way better than I thought. I'm not wearing a brace.
Yeah, I saw that.
He said I had to wear it for 6 months. Mm. I wore it for two. I can drive. Yahoo. I can fly, which means I'm heading your way west sometime soon. What else can I do, honey?
You can lift up to 30 pounds.
Oh, I can lift 30 pounds. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. So I'm happy about that. I took in the garbage today and set up the chairs here and walked a couple miles yesterday. And I'm really, really thankful for your prayers. I know that that's really what did it, but what other things? I can start physical therapy maybe next month, which they said would be after 6 months, and that things are looking really good. So
you're going to look for a car tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
I need a car.
This is fantastic.
So I'm just a very blessed person. Thank you for your prayers. You know, I don't know what prayer does, but it does a whole heck of a lot. So thank you. I thought you should know that. I'm very thankful. So it was exceeding abundant. I knew it would be good. I didn't think it'd be that good. I mean, golly. I'm so happy not to have to wear that stupid brace. Those are hot and heavy and cumbersome. So thanks a lot. Thank you, God. So if you want to take your Bibles and go to 2 Kings 4, I think we're going to try another night on stories of deliverance. It's kind of something that I've been doing on and off, and I get so blessed looking in God's Word at different things in about deliverance. And tonight we're going to be looking at deliverance of women. Not from women. Deliverance of women. Because you women are God's masterpiece. Mm-hmm. What could us men do without you? Right? Am I right?
Yes.
Right. You better say right.
That's right.
Right.
It's on tape. So in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was, that as oft as he passed by, he turned in hither to eat bread, thither to eat bread. So every time he came by the house," imagine, even if he was going someplace else, he probably rerouted so he could go by this house, I don't know, so he could get some bread. "And she said unto her husband," I'm in 2 Kings 4, something 9 now, "and she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. I got an idea, husband. Let's make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn into there." What a wonderful woman this woman was, realizing that this was a man of God, that he came by. He must have come by quite a bit to have the bread. And then she said, "Well, husband, can we make him a little room? Can we have a little room there with a table, a stool, a bed, and a candlestick, so that whenever he comes, he can stay with us?" It's kind of neat, if you think about it. "And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and he was laying there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him. And she said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What can we do for you? You know, what is it that we could do for you? Do you need anything kind of thing? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. So she really didn't answer him. And he said, well, what then can we do for her? And Gehazi came back and he said, verily, she doesn't have a kid. She has no children and her husband's old. And so Elisha said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, you know, 9 months, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, no, Lord, thou man of God, don't lie unto your handmaid. Don't lie to me. And the woman conceived. So it didn't shake Elisha any. He said, you're going to have a baby in 9 months. She goes, no, don't lie. And I don't know what he did after that or what he said, but she had a baby. And she conceived and bare a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day. So a lot of time goes by. I don't know here what grown is. Is grown in there, but Georgie?
No, I don't know.
There's no grown?
No grown.
Oh, well. He's old enough to work. It fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head! And he said to a lad, carry him to his mom. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, she sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. Well, that's a heavy thing. I don't know how old the child was. Does anybody know? Anybody? It really doesn't matter. It was her only child, and he was out working, so he was old enough to work, and, you know, he got sick. It's my head. Took him back to mom. She put him on her lap, and he died. That's a heavy thing. Man, oh man. Verse 21. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. That's not where she was when the son died. She took him and put him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it's okay. And that means peace. It shall be well as shalom. And she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive, go forward, slack not thine riding for me, except I bid thee. So she gets on this ass or whatever it was, and she went and she came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. So I don't know what Elisha was doing, but he saw her and he said, you know, there's that Shunammite. And he's telling Gehazi, his servant, run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with your kid? And she said, it's great. I don't understand this, but it's in God's word. You know, and I think of that book constantly, or I should think of it more, Synchronized Life, where Dr. Werewolf said, confession of belief yields receipt of confession. It's a good idea to stay positive when you're not feeling the best. It's not a good idea to bitch and moan and whine and complain all the time, because it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do anybody else any good that's around you. It's best to confess the word. Not, you know, to lie, but to confess the word. Too often times people complain too much. Is it? It is well. That's what she said. I don't really understand that. I mean, that's amazing. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. Mm-hmm. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. Get away! And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hadn't told me. Now there's an honest man of God. Mm-hmm. He didn't know everything. He didn't always know by revelation things that were going on. That's all it means. It wasn't mean God wasn't playing hide and go seek. It's just he didn't know. He didn't know. And if you don't know, you don't guess. If you don't know, you don't know. That's all. So you're not a sinner. He knew something was wrong, but he didn't know what. And she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, don't deceive me? Now, I put myself in her place. I understand why she said it. I put myself in Elisha's place, and I can't imagine how his heart felt. Because she did say that. Don't lie to me. But Elisha said to Gehazi, gird up your loins, take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet anybody, don't salute him, don't stop. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the child, face of the child. So Gehazi has instructions as to what to do. But we have a problem here because the mom didn't want this to happen. Mm-hmm. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as the child soul, thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and he followed her. Gehazi had already taken off by this time. She said, I'm not leaving Elisha. You got to go with me. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child isn't alive. He's not awaked. He's not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead. And he laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them, twain. So he shut the door on Gehazi, and he shut the door on the mother. We don't read the word of God closely enough. We don't ask who, where, what, when, why, and how. Well, the who was Elisha and this dead child, because he shut the door. And the child was dead. So he went in, and he shut the door upon them, and he prayed unto the Lord. He did what he did tonight, what we did tonight. We prayed. We prayed for different things. And when we pray, we should believe. He prayed unto the Lord, and he went up, and he lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Now, why did he do such a stupid thing? Revelation. Word of knowledge and word of wisdom. So you were right, partly, honey. Wisdom. At dinner. So he stretched himself upon the child. Would you do that? If God told you, or would you think that's too weird?
I'd do that.
Word of knowledge is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may receive from God certain truths and facts which are humanly impossible for you by your five senses to know anything. That's beyond that, right? Then he returned. And he walked into the house to and fro. He returned because the child didn't get awake. He wasn't alive yet. He was warm, probably because Elisha was laying on top of him. But he wasn't alive. He was not alive. And so I know from experience in my own life, when I'm ministering to somebody and have to take a break, that those times are interesting. Sometimes Jesus Christ doodled. Sometimes you walk. Sometimes you just pray. Sometimes till it's all there. And that takes a discipline of mind. Most people would have given up. Not Elisha. He walked to and fro. He went back and he stretched himself upon him again. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. And when she was coming in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in, fell at his feet, bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son and went out. What a woman. What a woman who believed God. Who believed God. She knew what she was supposed to do. She got to Elisha. The first thing she did was chide him. "You lied to me." Elisha didn't know the full depth. Said God had hid it from him. He sent Gehazi to lay his staff upon him. Gehazi got there before him. Staff didn't do nothing. Not yet. Then Elisha came, stretched himself upon the child, his mouth upon his mouth. I mean, that's interesting. "Humanly impossible for you by your 5 senses to know anything. You think that's a story of deliverance?" Her child came back to life. He was deader than a doornail. No life in it. Malachi 3:6 still says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." God's nature is to heal. God's nature is to help. God's nature is to take care of. Our old man nature is none of those things. So Elisha laid on this child. The child got warm, but he knew he wasn't alive, so he walked to and fro. He probably discussed things with God. I don't know what he did. But he got it together, and he went back in, laid on the child again, and the child sneezed 7 times, snotted all over him. And the Shunammite woman went in at his feet and just was so blessed because her son was alive. That is a story of deliverance, I would say. Would you say?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Luke 13. Luke 13. Physical deliverance there, where someone was dead and made alive. Here we see a different type of deliverance. And he, Jesus Christ, verse 10, Luke 13:10. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. So he's teaching God's word. "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up." We've seen people like this before where they're just bowed over and they can't, you know, that's how they walk and everything else. In this case, it was a devil spirit. It was a spirit of infirmity. It's not always a devil spirit if somebody's bowed down or bowed over, you know, and has a hunchback or whatever. She couldn't lift herself up. And he's teaching the word, see. "And when Jesus saw her, he called her unto him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hand on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified" who?
God.
Amen. In the genuine operation of the manifestations, God should be the one that always gets the glory. And here you see it again. He, all he said was, "Woman, you're loosed of your infirmity." He laid hands on her and she got healed. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. That's word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healing. All in one. And a lot of times that's how they work. All together. You were talking about a story of deliverance. Having a devil spirit of infirmity that caused you to bow over for 18 years. Then one day, deliverance. "And the ruler of the synagogue wasn't too pleased. Answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed them on the wrong day, the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work." In them, therefore, come and be healed. And not on this day. It's the wrong day to get healed. What the hell is the matter with this guy? I don't know how upset I would be if somebody got healed on... Well, I don't know what a wrong day is. I don't really know. So, she gets healed, and the religious people have problems. Wrong day of the week. The Lord then answered, verse 15, him, and said, you hypocrite, you fake, you fugazi, you fake, you mask wearer, you phony. Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? You guys do work. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, a believer, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? What's the matter with you? You let out your cows and your asses and your ox on the Sabbath day? This girl just got healed of some, she was bound by Satan, and she's healed. Look at her, you dummies. You never healed her. And when he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things were done by him. See? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, you want to talk about stories of deliverance, 18 years having an infirmity, a spirit of infirmity that caused you to bow down and not be able to straighten up. And then one day, and I want you to see this verse here, verse 10. He was teaching in one of the synagogues. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?
The word of God.
She'd heard the word of God. She heard the word of God, and on the heels of the word of God, deliverance, healing. From 18 years of being bound by Satan, by the devil, and his spirits, bowed. That's a great story of deliverance of a woman. Go to Acts 16. Acts 16. And in verse 13, it says, on the Sabbath, we went after the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. You know, women could bring men water. You're allowed to talk to them then. So they went down to the riverside. So many songs about rivers. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. A lot of rivers in songs. Anyway, they went down to the river and they prayed. And they sat down and spake to the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Heard us. Whose heart the Lord opened, so much that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Evidently, not only did they pray, they must have shared some things with them, probably Bible things. And I want you to note that she attended, she listened unto the things that Paul spoke. She listened. Listening is such an important thing, key to deliverance. Listen to God, listen to his word, listen to the people who will share the word of God with you, no matter if they're your personality type or not. Listen unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So her heart got opened. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come on up to my house. Stay a while. And she constrained us, you know. The Orientalism, she asked him a few times. He said, no, thanks a lot. You know, God is great. I'm so happy you're blessed and that your family got born again. So blessed that you're doing great. But, you know, we got stuff to do. And then they asked him again and again. And finally, she constrained us. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, verse 16, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by her soothsaying, you know, fortune telling or something. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. I can't imagine. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. My first year in New Jersey, I was teaching in Monmouth County. So I can't remember where. Monmouth County used to have a lot of believers. I mean, like, a lot. There was like six fellowships there when I got here. And I don't know, it was a small school room or something like that. And there was these people there who came and they started screaming in the middle of the teaching. Yeah, follow him. He'll show you the way. It was the same kind of devil spirit. I didn't wait many days. Got rid of that problem pretty quickly, which I'm thankful for. But here, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way to salvation. Is that true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Was it true when the devil tempted Jesus Christ in Matthew 4? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But here it's even was like more true because they were servants that could show people the way. So sounds nice. And if you just read it, you're like, what the heck? It's the way they said it. It was spirits. And I've seen these spirits, boy. They're nasty. Real nasty. And so, many days has happened. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. So, you talk about a story of deliverance. Okay. You know, that's not much of a story. Yeah, it is. Lydia and her whole household got born again as a result of hearing the word again. The things that Paul said, she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul, and she and her whole household got born again. And just following this, and this happens quite often. It's in the sower and the seed. Some of you guys get all excited. Somebody gets in the word one day, and then you don't see him for nothing because of the sower and the seed. But here, right on the heels of this great deliverance, this woman, another woman, who said, these are servants of the Most High God, would show us the way to salvation. What was a devil spirit? And this she did many days. And I can remember, you know, one of the Rock of Ages, my assignment by Dr. Werhol was to stand in front of this guy who was possessed and screaming things all day long, devil spirits. 12 hours, me and Mike Tracy. And boy, by the end of that Rock of Ages, I just wanted to go home and go to bed. There's a difference between somebody saying something and a spirit saying something. And God will show you if you want to know. And this woman got delivered too. She got the spirits kicked out of her, whatever they were. Then these guys got in all kinds of trouble for that. You know, I'm not going to get into the rest of that record, but they end up getting thrown in jail for delivering a woman of spirits because their master saw that their gain was gone. And also, you know, they just got this whole household born again of God's Spirit. So, sometimes things will be going really good and then the devil will come around and try to really make things difficult for you. It's nothing new. It's all through the Word. It's all through the Word. You know, not every day is Sunday and cupcakes and strawberries. It'd be nice. That day's coming. Can't guarantee the cupcakes and strawberries, but it'll be a good time. That'll be a great time. So here you got three stories of deliverance. You got the Shunammite woman who loved Elisha so much that she got her husband to build him a little room with a bed, a candlestick, a table, fed him bread all the time. Her son gets sick unto death. He dies. She saddles an ass and goes out to see Elisha. Elisha sees her coming, sends Gehazi ahead. What's wrong? It's well, you know. Lord hid it from me. Sends Gehazi to put a staff on this child. Then he gets there, stretches himself on top of her, on top of him. He gets warm, but he doesn't get healed. He walks to and fro. I don't know what he's doing. He's probably talking things over with God or singing. I don't know what he's doing. Came back, stretched himself on top of her, on top of him, and he got healed. What a story of deliverance. A woman, possessed, having a devil spirit for 18 years, that bowed her over, heard the word of God, and Jesus Christ ministered to her, and she got healed. Here, went down to the river to pray. And this woman, Lydia, gets born again. She attended to what Paul had shared. She gets born again in her household. Another woman says, these are servants of the Most High God, blah, blah, blah. Show us the way to salvation, devil spirits. Bam. Kick those spirits out, man. Something else. Go to Psalm 30. The 30th Psalm. It's kind of a fun thing to do. Just go through the Word and look at these wonderful healings of deliverance and kind of cool. It's really kind of cool. You could look at all the people in the Word that were blind. You could look at all the people in the Word that had leprosy. You know, all the people in the Word that had devil spirits. You could do it, and it's so fun to see God, you know. Psalm 30, verse 1, it says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and has not made my foes to rejoice over me. Well, that's a kind of a cool verse. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Well, if we need healing, we ought to do a little more crying unto God. I'm not a complainer, but sometimes I'm a whiner. There's a difference. And, you know, like with this back thing, I didn't really whine or complain very much. I expected God to do something big for me, and He has and is. I mean, it needs to get even better, but I'm really, really thankful. You know, I'm thankful. He heals us. O Lord, when thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Well, that's a big one for me. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. God wants us to sing unto Him, and He wants us to be thankful. You know, the New Testament says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And it's talking about all of us, every believer. God wants us thankful. You know, when we're thankful, we can't be negative. When we're thankful, we can't be negative at that same time. It's impossible. It's like oil and water, they don't mix. and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Just think about how big God is, how wonderful God is, how he gave us so many things, like food, like flowers, like trees, like oceans, like seas, like mountains. So many beautiful things to observe. Birds, good Lord, I love looking at birds. I like birds, except the mean ones, I don't like them. He's just given us so many things to remind us of him, if we pay attention. For his anger endureth but for a moment. He's not like humans that are pissed off all the time. Always angry. Always got something negative to say or negative to think. You know, never forgiving. God's just not like us. Thank God he's not. He doesn't act that way. His anger doesn't endure long. And then it says in his favor, in his grace, is life. To fully appreciate God's grace, his undeserved divine favor, is a beautiful thing. To really pay attention to how it's all by grace. We're saved by grace, we live by grace, it's by grace we'll be gathered. That's something to really take your time and think about once in a while. Because it says in his favor is life. Well, I like life. Beats the options. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Yahoo! I don't know of you guys, but man, sometimes... Well, Dr. Worrell taught in the advanced class, A Dark Night of the Soul and A Song of the Night. But, boy, sometimes, thankfully not often, those nights seem to go pretty long because you wake up and there's something really bugging you and you can't go back to sleep and you sweat and you get mad or you get upset. And sometimes, like it says here, weeping may endure for a night, but yahoo, it's morning. Joy or blessedness comes in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by the favor, by the grace, thou hast made the mountains, my mountains, to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. You know, when he couldn't get to God, like something was blocking it. That troubles anybody. Where we're just a little off. We're just not right. Nothing seems to be going right in our brains. Or maybe even in our lives. This David was a wonderful man. But he was a human. By thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. So what did he do about it? He cried unto him, next verse, to thee, O Lord. And unto the Lord I made my request. I talked to him about what was going on. It really doesn't do anybody any good to be dishonest with God. It's good to lay it all on the line. Maybe things you can't even tell your wives or your husbands. But you can talk to God. He'll always understand. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my request. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? When I die, what? I mean, no. Can't declare the truth when you're dead. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. That's a withholding of merit and judgment. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. He goes from, you know, I can't praise you, I can't do anything, I can't declare your word if I'm dead. So, Father, you know, listen to me. Have mercy upon me. Be thou my helper. Help me out. Now, had he helped him out before? Sure he had. But he wanted him to help him again and again and again. And that's how God is. He'll help us again and again and again, even if we're stinkers. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. How about that? Crying to dancing. I danced a little tonight in the kitchen to James Brown. Mm. It felt good. No brace. I was boogieing just a little. I was hitting the beat on the one. Yeah. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with happiness, gladness, joyfulness, blessed. He's happy, he's happy, he's happy. To that end, that my glory, and that means his tongue, can sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I'll give thanks unto thee forever. What a psalm. So great to see things like we saw in the Word tonight. Stories of deliverance, people getting healed, people getting delivered of spirits, people getting born again. People seeing the dead rise again. And then it's good to just take some time and be thankful. Let's take some time and sing. Take some time and dance a little bit. Take some time. The world just pushes, pushes, pushes. Man, push back by being happy. Push back by being blessed and rejoicing. You know, my back didn't work for a while, but my legs did. My mouth did. My brain worked fine. My hands worked fine. So, back. Yeah, forget it there. You know, what is it that infirms you? Well, is it your whole life? But that's what the devil would like you to think. You can't do anything. I can't do nothing. I can't think right. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So, stories of deliverance. Here, women. And I called Taylor or texted her today. I wanted her to come tonight because I thought of her in light of this. When she lived here for 10 years or whatever it was. It seemed like 20 years. You know, she would come down, I don't know, once a week or something and get prayed for. And she always got healed, or I think, most of the time, just get healed. And I thought, I always thought about Taylor, that's great, believing. It's not great that she had problems every 22 seconds. But it's great that she knew what to do, where to go, and get healed. And she believed God and got healed all the time. And I just thought of that. And I thought of Maria today, too, because she came over and I prayed for her. And, you know, I have total confidence in God's ability to perform what his word says. Now, sometimes it doesn't happen instantly. But it's going to happen. Because God's a healing heavenly father. That's his deal. He is one of the redemptive names of God. He's a healing God. I forget which one.
Jehovah Rapha.
Jehovah Rapha. So, he's a healing God. We know that. Right?
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to share. Father, thank you for your love and your kindness and your grace. Thanks, Father, for your healing wholeness in our lives, for your forgiveness, for your patience, for your kindness. And, Father, that you called us to be your kids is just amazing to me, considering all the people in the world that seem to be so much better than me or anybody else in here. You have made it available before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and without blame before you in love. So we're grateful for that, Father. Thanks for these people for showing yourself strong on their behalf just because you're great. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.